In the first service, I started off by asking, who likes free gifts? Wie hou van geskenkies? Free gifts. Wie van julle hou van geskenkies? Jy mag dalk een kry. Nee, ek tjak. Jy kan 'n plastiek bottel. Wie hou van, die wat nie hulle handjies opsteek, hou jy nie van geskenkies sê? Ha? Jody, hou jy nie van geskenkies sê? Ha? Hou jy? Jy love geskenkies. Ek weet, ons allemaal doen. Tweede vraag wat ek vir julle wil vra is, wat is die tweede vraag wat ek vir julle wil vra? Is life worth living? Is life worth living? Ja of nee? Wie sê ja? Ja. John? John is in die eerste dienst aan het gestel. So, ek denk ons al twee kan, as ons kyk na hierdie twee vrou, wil ek graag kyk na vers vanoggend in baie vers, Romeine 6, vers 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sê party van die translations. So we have answered the question of, is life worth living? And yes, it's a big yes. But to who is life worth living? I want to tell you that life is only worth living to those that have surrendered to the Lord, to the one who God has bought. In 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 says this, is in the middle of it, you've got to quickly read. This is, but false prophets also arose amongst the people, just as there will be false teachers amongst you. That's kind of a big warning for us right now. It's going to happen. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. And this is one of the destructive heresies that will come out in the last days, of even denying the master who bought him. By selfde woord is Lord and Master, en ons gaan daarna kyk 'n bietjie later. Even denying the Master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Romans 6:23, if you turn with me in your Bibles, I quickly want to look at this verse, quickly unpack it. I want to talk about this thing called free gift. Free gift. Thing that we love. We love a free gift. So the first thing is, this word free gift is a similar word that we use for grace, charis. But this is the word charisma. And it indicates the result of something. In this case, the result of grace. It means a gift of grace. And 16 out of the 17 times that it's used in the New Testament, it is used to connect to God as the giver. God is die een wat die free gift gee. He's the giver of this free gift. So, wie wil vir my 'n rol kom vervul? François, jy kan in die een kant staan. Jy kan nou die ander ene wees. Jody, wil jy my kom help? Ek het jou nodig. François kan in die een kant staan en Jody aan die ander kant. François, gaan nou vir julle verduidelik. So daar's twee meesters, two masters. Okay. There is sin, sonde aan die kant en dan is daar genade aan die kant. Okay. So Jody is, gaan ons genade wees. Sy gaan Jesus wees vir ons. En alles wat sonde is, gaan Franse vir ons personify. We gaan hierdie twee nou na verwys die hele tyd. En hierdie meester, hierdie master, as jy vir hom werk, ne, dan gee hy vir jou 'n geldjie. Wage. Hy betaal ietsie. Maar hy betaal met die dood. Want die loon van die sonde is die dood. That's what he pays with. That's what he pays with. This master, you can't do anything. This master just gives you a free gift. And who wouldn't want this free gift that this master wants to give? There's nothing I can do for this master that will This master will not love me more because I've done anything. This master will just love me. Because this master is love. This master is the one that gives free gift of grace. Okay. Die is a cruel master. And when it pays off, its wages is death. Which, other words, it means separation from God. This one is connected with God. So, sin is like an insect. Sonde, die master. It was reported recently, it was reported recently that an enormous pine tree in the mountains of Colorado had fallen victim to the pine beetle and died. According to locals, up to that point, the tree was thought to be indestructible. It had survived 14 lightning strikes and many years of Colorado winters, including avalanches and fires. But it was eventually brought down from within by a tiny insect that did its work silently. That is the way it is with sin. In a person's life, be they a Christian or a non-Christian. So in other words, we need to constantly watch our hearts and the condition we allow our hearts to get into, because this taskmaster is evil and he's going to make us work very hard. But this taskmaster, this one is the contrast. This one does not pay wages. This is a free gift that is offered. And it's called eternal life. And I've asked you, who doesn't like a free gift? We all do. There is nothing that one can do to earn this gift. No one could earn it. And if you could earn it, it would not be a gift. And it's not free anymore. Then it's not a gift anymore. If I earned something, if I did something for Jody and Jody says, yeah, then it would be a payment. It would be a wage because I did something. I just got to accept this and believe and receive. The Bible tells us you cannot earn. Harry Ironside said this, you cannot earn a gift. It would cease to be a gift if it were purchased with money or paid for in whole or in part in any other way. Eternal life is just that. Eternal. It never stops. Okay, julle twee kan gaan sit. Dankie. Dankie, evil. So nou weer na hom verwys. Eternal life. Eternal life is die volgende deel in daai versie. It's not only a future promise. I want to say this to you. It's not just a future promise. It is a present possession. It's not just a future hope. It is right now a present reality. Each one of us, as born again Christians, you walk in eternal life. In actual fact, we all walk in eternity somehow. With this taskmaster, with Francois on this side, you will walk in death. Eternal death, eternal separation. But with Jody on the other side, you will walk in eternal life. So it's a very big difference between the two. 1 John chapter 5, 11 to 12 says this. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. God gave us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. There's no other way. There's only one way. Jesus. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. You don't have eternal life. You have eternal death. There's only two spots here. It's not somewhere in between, maybe. John 17:3 says this. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So this is what is eternal life. This is how you get it. This is how you get this free gift. That you know that God is the only true God. And that He has sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. It's the only way you know it. Only way. I want to tell you, this is not just in a principle that we believe. It's a person. Because it says, in Christ Jesus. So it's not just the principle of like, yes, I live according to this principle that I've got to, yes, no, it's a person. He is a personal God to me. He's not just giving me little things and little gifts and I go, oh yeah, great. No, there's a relational part to this as well. I want to end this morning, and maybe this is the crux for me of this whole section in Romans 6:23, and maybe pop that up for me, John. He ends off with this word, eternal life in Christ Jesus. We saw that personal part, our Lord. And I've just finished a book on the study of Jesus. It's called Christology. And one section of this book is about this word, Lord. And what it means, it's the Greek word kurios. But the word kurios means this, it means master or owner. Okay. It conveys the basic idea of one who is another's owner. So jy besit iets. Jy is die possessor or the master. The main sense of kurios is that of a supreme one, one who is sovereign and possesses absolute authority. Absolute authority. Okay? So, as God vir François sê, François, trek Madagascar toe. And if this is God, then François needs to listen. Because the master has spoken. And the master has authority over him. Why does the master have authority over him? Because the master bought him. The master paid for him. He belongs to the master. So he can't question the master. You know what in the army was? Jy vra nie vir die korporaal. Wat se bos eens nie. Jy sê net, ja, korporaal. En jy begin aan hardloop. Just run into any direction, basically. Because they own you. They always told us that. Jy behoort nie aan jou ma nie. Jy behoort aan my. It's just okay. The thing is this. This is not a hard taskmaster. It's not an evil, cruel master. The benefits to say, I am under your authority, master, is so much easier. It's so much more beneficial. Total authority. You need to say to him, God, you've got absolute authority. You've got absolute ownership. Daar's nie 'n shared title deed as dit by God kom het. Daar's nie soos, God, I belong to you. En ons sing dit. I belong to you. En dan môre, jy sê, dan belong ek aan my girlfriend en ek belong aan my bank belongs, I belong to those things as well. No, there's no shared. You either belong to Jesus or you don't belong to Jesus. Ownership and uncontested power. In other words, he's got absolute authority, absolute power, absolute ownership of your life. Maybe that's a difficult thing to say this morning. Lord, I don't know if I belong fully to you. And I know this is, and I'll look at those verses that we grow into that as well. We grow into that. Peter talks about that. So kurios is used of the one to whom a person or thing belongs, about which she has the power of deciding, the one who is the master or disposer of a thing. So he makes the decisions. I don't make the decisions. Ultimately, I don't make the decisions. He makes the decisions. Jesus, in all of his struggles, he struggles with the Father. He says, Lord, can this cup pass me by? I don't want to die. I don't want to, this is going to be cruel. This is going to be, you know, I don't want to die. But not my will be done, but yours be done, Lord. He has submitted fully under the Father because he knew. He said, there's no man took my life. I gave it. Willingly as a ransom for many. Wayne Barber, he wrote this. He says, when you refer to Jesus as Lord Jesus Christ, you're not just referring to the position he holds, but you're referring to the compassion he feels for the people whom he oversees. It's beautiful. It really is. When you refer to Jesus as Lord Jesus Christ, you're not just referring to the position he holds, but you're referring to the compassion he feels for the people whom he oversees. Whatever he does in the authoritative position that God has put on him is for our good. Dis altyd beter. It's always better to follow Jesus and listen to Jesus and obey Jesus. Jesus is Lord. In the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as Lord or Kurios or Master or Owner more frequently than any other title. Therefore, it befits us to understand the truth concerning Jesus as Lord. En ons moet nie onsself in debates begin kry oor hierdie goeders nie. We should just say, yes, you are the Lord. You are the Master. Jesus saves and Jesus is the Lord. Uncontested. We can't go and like, oh, I don't know, maybe Jesus saves partially. Or no, Jesus saves and Jesus is Lord. That's what we believe. That's the foundational part of Christianity. This confession that we have, Jesus as Lord, became a direct insult in actual fact to those that were emperor worshipping. They were worshipping Caesar. In actual fact, funny enough, if you didn't know this, they used to do this. They used to go like this and go, Hail Caesar. Hail Caesar. That's what they did. Who else did something like that in the early 19th, you know, 1945, Hitler. Because he wanted to be worshipped. In actual fact, he thought he was an incarnation of Caesar at one point. His thing is that the Christian said, no, we can't bow. The reason why John is on the Isle of Patmos is because he didn't bow down. He didn't say, Hail Caesar. He said, he didn't say, Caesar is Lord. He said, Jesus is Lord. Because Romans 10 verse 9 to 10 says this. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe, so there's two things, a confession and a believing. In your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Jesus saves. Jesus is Lord. Certain cities even built temples for Caesar and to worship him. To declare Jesus as Lord became a crime punishable by death, resulting in many to die as martyrs. Now I want to say this to you. I think the first century believers understood lordship in a way us as modern believers would find it difficult to comprehend. Because we don't want a master. We don't want a Lord in our lives. It's one of my notes, but Matthew 24 talks about the master that's coming back one day. And hy gaan rekeningskap vra van ons. Ons is rentmeesters. That's what we are. We just, the stuff that he gives us, he asks us to look after it on behalf of him. He's the master. He's given you talents, he's given you abilities, he's given you gifts. Because when Jesus ascended on high, we know in Ephesians, he has given some to be apostles, some to be pastors, some. He has given gifts. Because this is the nature of our King. This is the nature of our God. He gives gifts. A free gift of eternal life. Lord is not merely a name that composes a title, Lord Jesus, Lord whatever, Lord van Sale, whatever. It's not just a title, but it signifies a call to action, so that every saint should willingly, reverently bow down to Jesus Christ. It's a call to action. Come bow down before Him. It's very difficult to go, I confess you, Lord, but you're still standing up inside. Everything rebels within you, and you actually are not listening to Him. Then I want to say to you, you need to check your master. What master are you serving here? If Christ is our Lord, we are to live under Him. We live unto Him continuously. We're submitting our wills to Him as His loyal, loving servants. Always seeking His kingdom first and His righteousness. Matthew 6:33 tells us. Always seeking the King's. What does the King want? What does the King want? The first question when you have big decisions in your life, what does the King want? Any decision you make in your life, I want to say this to you, and I'm not asking you every time you buy toothpaste, you go like Colgate of Aquafresh. See, I said, we saw He is your father, not your mother. But I think if you make big decisions in your life, you got to say, Lord, your kingdom first. You've got to find His heart on these things. According to this practical working definition, beloved, we need to ask ourselves, is Jesus Christ my Lord? And I want to say it's easy to call Him Savior, because we all want a Savior. We get saved, but then it struggles to say that you are my Master. We struggle to say that you have total ownership of my life. We struggle with that. See, don't misunderstand. None of us have arrived in this area of Jesus as Lord in our lives. None of us. None of us. Okay. And this is precisely why Peter is using this word to grow in 2 Peter chapter 3:18. He uses this. He says, but grow. Peter tells us, but grow in the grace. Kairos. There we have that grace. And knowledge. Epignosis, in other words, an intimacy there of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You and I, we can't be stagnant. So when we get saved, we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now to the day of eternity. So we're growing. So none of us have arrived. None of us here today have arrived at a place where we say, Jesus, you are perfectly my Lord. But we need to grow into it. See, don't be discouraged today. Don't throw in the towel, as they say. Keep on keeping on, pressing in towards the goal. Philippians 3:14 tells us, press on. I press on towards the goal. I've not attained it. He'll later say that. He says, I have not come to that. I'm not done. I'm not finished yet. But I'm pressing on towards the goal. Pressing on. See, we have new life. New life is such a life, there's always union. There's always a common union. That's where we get the word communion from. So when there's communion, common union, there's life. We see three kinds of life in the Bible. We see physical life, and that is the union of the soul with the body, soul and the body. You get a spiritual life, that is the union of soul with God. That's how soul is, you know, your spiritual life. What does it look like? But then there is eternal life, eternal union of the soul with God, in other words. I will forever be in union with Him. Forever be with Him. Till the end of days. So there's either eternal union with God Or there's eternal union with Satan. There's no union. He's just going to go to the same place where everybody else is that have rejected God, and that's hell. It's eternal separation from God. It's not union with Satan. It's more like a separation from God. And I want to have eternal union with Him, not eternal separation. Jesus said this. He says, "My sheep hear My voice." In John 10, verse 27 to 28. John 10, 27 to 28. "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them. I have an intimate relationship with My sheep, and they follow Me. I give them eternal life." Ah, beautiful Jesus. "And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand." When Jesus holds you, He holds tight. There's a verse in Isaiah that says that your name is engraved on the palm of His hand. It's beautiful. I want to end with an illustration. See, the gift of God is eternal life. We receive this gift when we believe in Jesus as our personal Savior. And it just, as we just read there, having eternal life, well, you will never perish. Spurgeon told this story. Charles Spurgeon told the story. He says, "A cruel king called one of his subjects into his presence and asked him his occupation. The man responded, 'I am a blacksmith.' The ruler then ordered him to go and make a chain of a certain length. The man obeyed, returning after several months to show it to the monarch. Instead of receiving praise for what he has done, however, he was instructed to make the chain twice as long. When this assignment was completed, the blacksmith presented his work to the king, but again was commanded, 'Go back and double its length.' This procedure was repeated several times. At last, the wicked tyrant," which was represented by Francois this morning, "at last, the wicked tyrant king directed the man to be bound in the chains of his own making and cast him into a fiery furnace. Like that cruel king, sin exactly does that. He wants that from his servants. A dreadful price. The wages of sin is death. But the good news is the last part of that verse. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If you're not a Christian, Spurgeon said, "consider the consequences of your sin, then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.